Well, good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday, the 27th of November 2019. And just for the purpose of the webcast, my topic this evening is carried by my father. This is something I really believe is so important for us to begin to live in. It kind of really represents a major lifestyle change when we allow ourselves to be carried by our father. It's something that has become very, I guess, real and pertinent to me over the last couple of years, just recognizing that it's more about him than about me. One of the things I've noticed is Paul's letters to the Corinthians. The first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 1, he opens that letter talking about weakness. And at the end of 2 Corinthians, the last chapter of 2 Corinthians, he talks about weakness again. And I don't think that's any coincidence, because I really believe it's something that Paul had discovered. And, you know, if we discover anything out of this, what I really believe we will find is that weakness becomes the power of sonship. And so I just want to start off with a couple of verses out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, so that no one may boast before him. And Paul says, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. That's the Apostle Paul talking, you know, and he's saying to this church in Corinth, he said, I've come to you with great weakness. I've come to you in weakness with, you know, almost in fear and trembling, you know. And I really believe that that is showing us a lifestyle. It's showing us the lifestyle of sonship. But it doesn't happen automatically, and it doesn't happen overnight. See, I think there's something in us that wants to be wise. There's something in us that wants to be strong. You know, the whole of our society, the whole of our education system, political system, even our churches, they encourage us to be strong and do things in our own strength. They promote strength and they put down weakness. You know, strength is good and weakness is bad. And I believe there's something inside each one of us that wants to be strong, wants to have it all together, wants to look like we're being competent. But I mean, in reality, we know we're not. You know, we know we're not really wise, we're not really strong, but we create this pretense, and therefore we live in unreality. And as we read this passage and some of the other passages that I'm going to refer to this evening, what we actually see very, very clearly is that God is not looking for the wise or the strong or those that have power. You know, he sees through that pretense. God is looking for those that are gentle and humble in heart, those that recognize their own weakness, and through that recognition allow the power of God to clearly be made known and be expressed. You know, however wise or however strong we pretend to be, we're nothing compared to him and his greatness and his glory. And you know, Paul is setting the tone here in this opening passage in 1 Corinthians about coming in weakness, coming in humility. You know, that God takes the lowly things of the world. God takes the weak things of the world. You know, he takes the things, he uses the people that we reject, because we are so conditioned and focused on trying to be strong and having it all together. And it lifts a huge burden off us when we realize that we don't have to be strong, that we don't have to have it all together. It's a huge weight of performance that is removed from us and sets us free. But, you know, as I've looked at this topic of weakness, and as I've looked at what it means to be carried by our Father, I've had to ask myself a question. And that question is, how do you and I react to our circumstances? How do we react to the pressures of life? How do we react to the pain that we carry around and the wounds that we experience? You know, how do we react to those things? Because that's a really, really important starting point for us, because very often our default position when something kind of is tough, or something is going wrong, or someone wounds or hurts us, our default position is to rise up and try and overcome it, and try and, you know, overcome it in our own strength. And one of the things I've discovered as I've been looking into this, and as I've gone through this experience a bit in my own life, is, you know, am I going to try and overcome the challenges of life in my own strength, or am I going to rest in the one who has overcome? You see, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, he said, "I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." See, it's a very, very practical instruction there. Jesus says, you are going to have trouble in this world. There is going to be trouble. There are going to be problems. There are going to be hassles. There is going to be pain. But Jesus says, you can, even in the midst of that, it's possible for you to have peace. It's really possible. And that's something I think that eludes us very often, is we don't find that place of peace. And we live in a struggle. We live in the tension of what's going on. But Jesus says, I've told you this so that you can have peace. You are going to have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. You see, Jesus has done for us what we are unable to do for ourselves. We don't have to overcome, because he has overcome for us. And I guess I'm learning to rest in his overcoming, and to rest in that place of knowing that his resources and his strength is much better than my resources or my strength or my performance. You know, I'm learning to run to him rather than trying to carry it myself. And so, you know, my question is how do we react to our circumstances? How do we react to the pain we carry, the wounds that people cause us? And I've discovered that if we're really going to face those things, if we're going to find that place of peace, if we're going to discover the rest of his overcoming, the place we very often find that is in the wilderness. And I don't think we like the wilderness. We don't like the desert places. We don't like those times when it's just us and God. But I've discovered that if for us to have a really deep encounter with the Father, it needs to be just us and him. And we need to allow ourselves to be taken to that deep place, which is often a lonely place. It's a place where we have to face what is going on in our hearts. It's a place we might not be able to run away from. But that wilderness place is a place where we are alone with our Father. See, very often in the busyness of our lives, with all of the activity that's going on in our families and our work and our jobs, we don't stop long enough to really go to that place with him. But there are times and there are seasons when he leads us into a wilderness where we can have a deep, intimate encounter with him. And it's in that time, it's in those times, in that place where we really have a deep, deep heart-to-heart connection with him. And where we really know that we can do nothing. That all of our strength is stripped away, all of our ability is stripped away, all of our performance is stripped away, all of our competence is stripped away, and it's just us and the Father. And that's what running into the pain is. We run into the pain rather than we run away from it. It's not easy, but when we're in that place, that desert, that wilderness, it's like we're wrestling with him for our freedom. We're wrestling with him for our healing. We're wrestling with him for justice. It's often a very, very painful wrestling, but it leads to a deep awakening in our heart that will change us forever. There was a time in Genesis when Jacob wrestled with a man who he later discovered was God. And you can read that story for yourself in Genesis 32. But, you know, Jacob is going back to meet his brother after many, many years. And he's not looking forward to it, really, because he left his brother after he'd wronged him and stolen his inheritance. But he knows he needs to go back. He knows he needs to face his brother. And he sends his wife and his family and his servants on ahead. And he's alone in the desert at night. And this man comes. And Jacob wrestles with him, and he realizes it's God. And he won't let go until God blesses him. But at the end of that encounter, God touches his hip, and he puts his hip out of joint. And from that day on, Jacob walks with a limp. And what that signifies to us is it shows us his vulnerability and his weakness. And we often say, you know, don't trust someone who doesn't walk with a limp. But very often when we have an encounter with God in the wilderness, when it's just us and him, it feels like we're wrestling with him. But very often we come out of that encounter and we know we're walking with a limp, not a physical limp, but a spiritual limp, maybe an emotional limp. We know there's a greater vulnerability, a greater weakness, a greater openness of our hearts. And I wish it wasn't like this sometimes, but I think the reality is this is how we have a deep encounter with the Father. And many of us may want to run away from that. Many of us shy away from that. Many of us don't want to face those issues in our heart. But I want to encourage you this evening that the fruit of that encounter is not just walking with a limp, but the fruit of that encounter is a deeper, deeper awakening of a heart-to-heart relationship with the Father. It's just that knowledge, a greater sense of who he really is. And if you feel like you're in a desert, if you feel like you're in a wilderness and it's a season of your life at the moment, can I just encourage you to stay there as long as you need to stay there and not to try and rush away from it? Because we need to stay in that place with him until we know he's done what he wants to do. Until our heart will be changed forever through those encounters. And they are such deep, personal encounters, we don't want to rush them. They're not easy. Many of you will know how difficult they can be. But you will also know, I hope, the the fruit and the change that you know you experience in your heart. You see, because what we discover is, through those encounters, we actually discover that our weakness is this amazing key to sonship. It's an amazing key to walking as Jesus walked. It's an amazing key to his power being released inside of us. It's an amazing step of us letting go. And the desert, the wilderness, is not nice, but it does take us to that deep place. And it gives us a much deeper reliance on him. You know, in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, you know, do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't grow tired or weary. Yeah, isn't that encouraging? We grow tired, we grow weary, but he never grows tired or weary. He gives strength to those who are weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. You see, it's in that place of vulnerability, and it's in that place of reliance on him that he renews our strength, and he enables us to fly like the eagle. He releases freedom into our heart. See, our weakness, the recognition of our weakness, it leads to a renewal and a dependency on him. And it's his greatness and his power that lifts us up. It's his strength. And Isaiah encourages us to wait for him and allow his strength and his presence to renew us. You see, this is so different to what the world says. You know, the world says strength is good and weakness is bad. And all that does, if we follow that path, it leads us down the path of self-righteousness. You know, how can I make myself righteous? And the answer is, we can't. At the end of 2 Corinthians, the end of chapter 11 and on into chapter 12, Paul says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. He says, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, again, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. Someone who we think had it all together. Someone we think was very strong, very capable, very competent. And here he says, you know, I just boast in the things that show off my weaknesses. You know, it's when I'm weak that his power is made known. He had this thing called a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. We don't know what caused it, but it was obviously a problem to him. And he as we read, he pleaded with the Lord for it to be taken away. But it doesn't seem to have been. See, he said this thorn in the flesh, it came to him from Satan. And, you know, we often say that we have a thorn in the flesh. You know, we have a weakness. We have something that gets us down and something we feel despondent about. And we say, oh, that's my thorn in the flesh. And it be kind of, it's a bit of a burden. And like Paul, we would love it to be taken away. But what happens with Paul's thorn in the flesh is really interesting. It was a messenger of Satan. It was sent to torment him. You know, it was not meant to be a good thing. You know, Satan didn't send it to him to be a blessing. It came from Satan. It was a bad thing. He didn't want it. But Paul turns it round. You know, he takes this thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger of Satan, sent to torment him, sent to, you know, depress him, sent him to make him despondent, and he turns it round and he uses it as a force for good. He says, okay, I've got this thorn in my flesh, I've got this whatever it is, but it's not being taken away. But I am going to allow that thorn to allow my weakness to be even more prominent. You know, he says, I'm going to boast in the things that show my weakness. And so, you know, this thing, this thorn in the flesh that was meant to be a negative thing, Paul turns it around and makes it into something good. And, you know, I wonder if there's a lesson there for us, you know, because sometimes we can see the thorn in our own flesh. We can, you know, and we feel despondent and we feel discouraged. But yet, can we allow that, like Paul did, rather than being destructive and rather than being a distraction, rather than it stealing our life, can we actually turn it round and recognize it and embrace it and maybe even become content with it, in order that God can be seen in us? That although we, you know, we allow this thing, this whatever it is for each one of us, we allow it to become something rather than stealing life. We allow it to become something that promotes our own weakness, not in a wrong way, but in a way that allows God's power to be made known in us. You see, we have to let go of our pride. We have to let go of our self-sufficiency. And we learn to rely on him, that we can do nothing in our own strength, that anything we do will be limited, it will be restricted to our own abilities. But, you know, can we come to that place where we can boast in our own weakness, in order that God, the life of God, the life of the Father, can be really seen in each one of us? You know, what do we do with our thorn? Do we fight it? Do we want to be free of it? You know, of course we do. But can we turn it round so that the power of God can be seen in and through us? Can we embrace it like Paul did, as our weakness? So it takes the focus away from us and our ministry, and takes the focus away from our own strength and productivity. And it allows us to rest in the one who has overcome on our behalf. He becomes our resting place. Psalm 73 says, whom have I in heaven but you? Earth has nothing I desire besides you. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it's good to be near God. I've made him my refuge. I will tell of your deeds. Very often we feel as if our heart and our flesh are failing. But we can take hope that God is the strength of our heart. God is our portion. God is all we need. And, you know, who do we have but him? That when we feel like we've got nothing left, he is all we need. We can find that place of rest, that place of peace, in his arms, and we can discover that we are being carried by our Father. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses is telling the people of Israel their story. And they're pretty messed up people. They spend a lot of their time in rebellion and not doing what God wanted them to do. But this is what Moses says. He said, don't be terrified. Don't be afraid. The Lord your God, he is going before you. He will fight for you, just as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes, and also in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. I find that a beautiful picture. Not only a beautiful picture, but I find it a beautiful statement of the Father's intention. You know, he wants to fight for us. He wants to carry us as a father carries his son. And he wants to carry us all the way. You know, we often say, I want to give God my burdens. You know, I've got this big backpack, a heavy backpack, and I want to just wish he would just take it and just take my backpack, my burdens away. And, you know, of course, he loves to do that. He loves to take our burdens. But I really believe there's something much, much greater that he wants to do. He wants to carry us. He wants to pick us up in his arms, and he wants to fight for us. He wants to carry us, and he promises to carry us all the way. At the end of Moses' life in Deuteronomy 33, it says, there's no one like the God of Jeshurun. He rides across the heavens to help you. He sits on the clouds in his majesty. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. There's a beautiful picture of the strength and the power and the majesty of our God. But there's also a picture of the tenderness and the compassion that he reaches down and he surrounds our lives with his everlasting arms. You know, yes, he will take our burdens. Of course he will. But he's interested in much, much more than that. He wants to carry you. He wants to carry me. In Isaiah 40, it says, we see again how God really cares for us. We see that he's not distant and he's not angry. He doesn't judge us. He doesn't hold our sin against us. He's redeemed us. He's brought us back. And then we see in verses 10 and 11, see the sovereign Lord comes with power. He rules with a mighty arm. His reward is with him. His recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his heart and carries them close to his heart. He leads those that have young. See, once again, a beautiful picture of a strong, powerful God, but also one who is tender and gentle and gathers us close to his heart. You know, we see in those two verses in Deuteronomy and Isaiah, we see the combination of the father's love, but also his mothering love towards us. He's much more interested in carrying us than he is with all of our good works or our busyness or activity. You know, I've got four grown-up children. They're in their 20s now, in their 30s. I couldn't carry them. They wouldn't want me to carry them. You know, when we read this picture of the child being carried, what it is, it's a little child. It's a father carrying a little child. When my kids were young, I could pick them up, I could carry them, I could put them on my shoulders. And it was a lot easier than it would be now. You see, it's for us to be carried by our father, we've got to have a childlike heart. It's that childlike simplicity that allows us to be carried by our Father. You know, if we're trying to be wise and learned, as Jesus says in Matthew 11, you know, this revelation, the power of this revelation is hidden from us. But it's coming as a child. Matthew 18, first few verses, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who's the greatest?" And Jesus took a child and said, unless you turn, unless you change and become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest. And for us to really allow ourselves to be carried, we've got to go through this transformation. You know, the word there for turn is, it's like conversion. It's a 180 degree turnaround. You know, we're walking in this way, but we've got to turn right around and walk this way. You know, for us to be carried, we've got to go through that major, major conversion in our thinking, in our life, in our belief system, in our concept of who God is. Because it's as we turn and become like a child that we can allow ourselves to be carried. We need to humble ourselves, you know. And I think for many of us, that's a difficult thing, is to take the path of humility. But Jesus says that's That's the only way. In Matthew 11, 25 to 27, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was your good pleasure. This is what you wanted to do. All things have been committed to me by the Father. No one knows the Father except, no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. See, there's a progression there. It's we can only truly have a revelation of the Father if we come with a childlike heart. Jesus says these things have been hidden from the wise and learned, but they've been revealed to children. And the very next thing he talks about is about the Father being revealed. And so I have to take it from these verses that the only way we can really have a deep revelation, a deep encounter with the Father, is when we come with a childlike heart. Because that we're then open to, I think our hearts are just open to him. And we see him as our Father. We see him as someone who is dependable. We see him as someone who is trustworthy. And Jesus says, you know, I'm revealing the Father, but I can only really reveal the Father to those who have a childlike heart. And then he goes on in verse 28, he says, therefore come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, a revelation of the Father leads us to coming to him, getting rid of our burdens, and finding a place of rest. It allows us to come to that place where we are placed in a relationship with him. We take Jesus's yoke upon us and we find rest for our souls. See, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And it's as we have this revelation of the Father that we can suddenly realize that we don't have to carry it all ourselves. We don't have to be caught up with hard work. We don't have to be consumed by a burden, but we can relax and rest because Jesus has overcome and he's done what we can't do for ourselves. The Message translation for the last few verses of Matthew 11 says, are you tired? Are you worn out? If so, are you burned out on religion? If so, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live lightly and freely. And I really believe that's the desire in our heart, that we do want to live freely. We do want to live lightly. You know, I think there's a longing in our heart for that place of rest, for that place of peace. And we only truly find it when we've come home to the Father, when we allow him to reach down and carry us. And the only way we can come to that place is in a childlike simplicity and dependence on him, where we say, I can't do anything. I can't do anything. And we recognize that our weakness is the doorway for his power to be released. And I believe we only come to that place, as I've said, when we have a deep encounter with the Father. Maybe a wilderness experience. That's certainly what Paul had. He was, you know, 14 years, he didn't do anything. After his conversion, he was working as a tent maker and he was just processing, you know, everything that he was learning from the Father. He was processing the pain in his heart, the mistakes he'd made as a Pharisee. And he was coming to this place of sonship in his heart that, you know, it took him 14 years before he could write the letter to Galatians. And in Galatians, he's able to write, we're all sons of God through the faith of Christ Jesus. And, you know, he couldn't write that after his Damascus Road experience, when he just had his conversion. He needed that time with the Father, that deep encounter with the Father, that fashions sonship in his heart. And it's the same for you and I, that this freedom, this light and free living, we will only truly discover when we know the Father, when we allow the Father to carry us. Yes, he'll take our burdens, but he wants to do more than that. He wants to reach down and carry you. You know, he is interested in what we do for him, but is much, much more interested in a heart connection with him. He's much, much more interested in that intimate relationship with him. See, we think that our activity wins his heart, but it doesn't. You know, we've already won his heart because we belong to him. And it's as we allow ourselves to be carried that we recognize our own weakness, that we can do nothing on our own. And we learn to rely and depend totally on our Father. This is what Jesus modeled, a total dependency on the Father. And my question is, just as I finish, do we want our own strength or do we want his power? Because if we want his power, then our weakness, our dependency on him becomes the key to a life of sonship, where his life and his strength and his power is released through us. That's what leads us into a life of rest, for us to discover the peace that Jesus promises us. I believe the Father is giving us an invitation today, an invitation for us to come with a childlike heart, to allow the Father to pick us up and carry us. Maybe we need to recognize that he wants to take us into the wilderness where we're alone with him, where maybe in that place he deals with the deep pain of our heart. And through it, he sets us free to walk as sons and daughters. Are we prepared to give him the hurts, the unforgiveness, the guilt, the condemnation, the pain, the brokenness, the emptiness, the dryness, the barrenness, the desolation, the despondency, the frustration of our inadequacies? Are we prepared to give those to him and allow him to come and carry us? Because when we do, we will begin to see amazing things happen. We can be carried by our Father. He wants to carry us. But the key is our childlike heart. And I just want to pray, and I just want to invite the Father just to come and surround us with his loving arms, to pick us up, to carry us. Whatever response you need to make in your heart, can I encourage you to do that? If you know you need that, a place of aloneness with him that maybe doesn't come on a Wednesday evening at a webcast, and you need to be alone with him, then can I encourage you to take that time to find that place? Because it's in those times that we have those deep encounters with him. We might walk with a limp for the rest of our life, but we would have had a deep encounter with him. And that's what I want. I hope you want it too. So Barry, if you can perhaps put the music on again, and let's just open our hearts to Father. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you that you are a great God. Thank you that you are a powerful God. Thank you that you are mighty. But thank you, Father, that you are loving. You are tender, you are gentle. And Father, thank you that you do fight for us. That you do fight for us. Thank you, Father, that you fight for us. Father, that we don't have to fight on our own, we don't have to struggle on our own, but you fight for us. Thank you that we can rely on your strength, we can rely on your power. But Father, what you seek, what you look for is a childlike heart. of dependency and rest and peace, where we know that you have overcome and that you have done what we are unable to do. And so, Father, I just ask you to pour your love into our hearts. Father, hold us in your arms. Hold us in your arms. And carry us all the way. Father, every day of our lives, carry us as a father carries his child. That we would find our place of safety and rest in your arms. Whatever life throws at us, whatever hardship, whatever pain, whatever wounds, Father, may we know that you're carrying us. Thank you, Father.